Live from the 700 ESPN studio, it's the Dickow and Slim Show, fueled by the Swinging Doors.
We're going to get back to the Felix Hernandez deal in a little bit. We've got a lot of texts coming in about it.
Some good ones.
Yeah, we'll respond to those in a bit. What were your thoughts on Felix losing the award to probably the most boring man in sports history? If Corey Kluber was awake for that interview, I feel bad for his family. I imagine family dinners are rather boring at the Kluber house. But we get to talk some Seahawks football. To get me off of my tangent of being so angry at baseball, we get to talk some NFL football. And we're joined by Danny Kelly of FieldGoals.com. Danny, how's it going today, man?
Hey, not too shabby. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You know, it's good to have you on. And right off the bat, you write about the Seahawks. You guys do a great job at Field Goals. Do you get the perception, because I know when we were talking a little about Felix and the fact that you're up here in the Pacific Northwest hidden away, do you ever feel like that when you're covering the Seahawks where you just go, it is funny how the national media really, unless we win the Super Bowl, so that changes things, but really they don't care about us up here.
Yeah, I mean, definitely before the Super Bowl last year I had that feeling, and even now I think, excuse me, I think that, you know, most people probably don't know a ton about the Seahawks even after, you know, that big game, but... You know, I think just in general, people buy into a lot of sort of the narratives that you hear, like national narratives, national media narratives and things like that. You know, the Russell Wilson game manager thing and, you know, all the Percy Harvin, you know, that whole debacle. I think everybody pretty much, you know, bought into the national narratives around the locker room strife and all that. So I think, you know, just in general, because the media market here is a little bit isolated, I think, you know, people don't really know the whole story.
It's funny because last night, and we'll get into the Marshawn Lynch thing in a bit. It was fun to see him on TV last night because yeah. I do think there's a lot that people don't understand about that. But we'll get to that in a bit, Danny. I wanted to ask you first and foremost, I mean, the two big stories of the week for the Hawks, Brandon Mebane, Zach Miller. The importance factor of these, I know one to me is a lot more important than the other. Where did you come out on looking at the Mebane IR and then, of course, the Zach Miller IR?
Well, I think the Mebane one is a really big deal. You know, there's not really any guy like him on the defense. You know, he's sort of just this bowling ball in the middle of the defense that soaks up blocks and takes on, you know, double teams. And he's a big reason that, you know, the linebackers are able to flow and hit guys and, you know, get through the offensive line and on blitzes and things like that. So his value is sort of underrated and underappreciated. Plus, you know, they just don't really have another guy like him. Jordan Hill, he's probably the closest, you know, proxy, but he's young. Excuse me, he's young and he doesn't have quite as much experience. He's not quite as big. You know, and just Mebane's, you know, he's just a really good player. So there's going to be some drop off there, I think. And the plan right now, I think, is to put Kevin Williams in there on the inside and sort of rotate him with Tony McDaniel. But those guys are both 6'5", yeah. You know. So I think Tony McDaniel might be even 6'6". So, you know, they just don't have the leverage that Brandon Mebane has. So that's kind of a big deal. You know, you could see sort of the front of Seahawks defensive line get pushed back a little bit more now.
The Zach Miller one, on the other hand, comes on the other side of the ball, and a guy who could block real well, but to be honest, we haven't seen Zach Miller since week three, Danny.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of, I think that maybe softens the blow a little bit. You know, we were all hoping that he would come back soon and kind of like looking at our watches and sort of wondering when he would be back, but the Seahawks managed to sort of use a rotation in his absence, and I think, you know, they'll continue to do that. Hopefully, you know, Luke Wilson will be able to get healthy. I know he had a pretty bad ankle sprain last week, so the Seahawks are just really beat up at tight end right now. But with Gary Gilliam's ability to play sort of that sixth O-line slash tight end position, I know that's been a big factor. And then, you know, if they rotate in Tony Maioki, you know, he's just sort of an X factor. We don't really know what he can bring yet, but based on everything I've heard, as long as he's healthy, he's a very talented player. So, you know, there's some things they can do, but, you know, it is a big loss, I think, down the stretch, you know, because the Seahawks like to run it so much. He's such a good run blocker, and he's also, you know, he's also a very good pass blocker. You could leave him on the edge and ask him to block, you know, Alden Smith. So that's kind of, you know, one of those things that you're going to miss, but they'll rotate guys in, you know, based on what they want to do and make the most of it.
The Hawks lose Brandon Mebane on an unfortunate week because now you're going up against a team that runs the ball really well.
Yeah.
What do you expect to see this weekend, Danny, when it comes to trying to stop Jamaal Charles, Niles Davis, two guys who can run the ball with the best of them?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they'll probably just do what they can do, what they always do. You know, that's sort of Pete Carroll's mantra, you know, always next man up. And their defense is, frankly, pretty basic. They don't get too exotic in terms of, especially in run defense. But, you know, there's one thing they could do is last year we saw it. They had sort of a 3-4 look that they went to sometimes against some of these run-heavy teams like the Niners. And so you could see basically three down linemen with then two linebackers lined up outside on the line. It's almost like a five-person front. And that's something that could try, you know, things like that, and just rotating guys in. And like I said, I mean, I think it's a drop-off because Mebane's such a good player, but, yeah, I have faith that Pete Carroll kind of figures something out. Him and Dan Quinn, you know, I think they've got some tricks up their sleeve in terms of just getting guys in the best position to sort of, you know, fill in.
Danny Kelly of FieldGoals.com, our guest this afternoon on the show. And, Danny, we've now had a pretty good chunk of the season to look at Russell Wilson. There's a lot of game film on him. You guys break down game film, in my opinion, better than anyone. What do you make of Russell Wilson right now at this point of the season?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. He's struggled the last couple of weeks. You know, he's had these moments, not moments, but, you know, quarters, halves of brilliance, but it's just been a struggle to put it all together. And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. There are a lot of factors. You know, the last couple of weeks, he's missing some of the weapons that he's had over his career, frankly. You know, Golden Tate's gone, Percy Harvin's gone, Zach Miller's gone. He's, you know, basically leaning on Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse and then two rookies at receiver. So that's, you know, that's a factor that matters. And then to go with that, it's been rainy and cold, and you know, he's been a little bit inaccurate, and there's been ideas floated around about why that is. I think it's probably, you know, as always, it's a number of different things. I think one, you know, he's running a lot more. That's affected his accuracy a little bit, I think. You know, he talked about that today in the presser that, you know, when you're running around trying to escape these big guys, your adrenaline gets pumping, and then, you know, when you get back up to the line, you sort of have to calm yourself down and make accurate throws when you got all this, you know, adrenaline going. So that's a little bit difficult. But in terms of, you know, some of the missed throws, I think all quarterbacks miss throws. Maybe it's just a little more glaring because the Seahawks only throw the ball about 25 times a game. In general, I think it's a little early to make any judgments just based on the last couple of weeks, how he's sort of struggled. And, you know, he's always been kind of someone who has a short memory. So hopefully he can bounce back and, you know, at some point, hopefully he'll just have a big game and everyone will kind of just forget about that.
The League is one of my favorite shows on television, Danny, and
yeah.
I love it. It's on FXX. It's a great show if you're a football fan. They've got great cameos. Last night, of course, they had Beast Mode. They had Marshawn Lynch on. It was great. Finally got to see him in Yeast Mode on the screen at the same time. You guys had a great article. You had a chance to interview Jeff Schaefer, who is one of the creators of The League, and he had some great insight, I thought, on Marshawn Lynch the person.
Yeah. Well, basically, so he got in touch with us. He's been a reader of Field Goals in the past, so we wanted to talk to him about kind of just what it was like to be around Marshawn. And he shared a funny story about how Lynch, basically, they've been trying to get him down there for a few weeks, and they arranged to get him down there, and it was like a really tight schedule, so they managed to fit it in, and then he went radio silent. Marshawn went radio silent the night before, and so they're all freaking out, wondering where he is. And I guess Marshawn texted his agent the day of the shoot saying that he had missed his flight and all this stuff. But then he just showed up at the shoot, like, that day. Basically, it was just he was just pranking everybody. And so when he got there, you know, Jeff said that he was just a great guy. Like, people from the sets around them were coming over. He was taking photos with everyone. He was just really gregarious and having a good time and laughing and, you know, just basically not the public persona that we see sometimes. And in terms of being sort of a quiet guy, he was definitely, you know, animated and funny. And if you watch the scene, he's definitely, you know, he's got that sort of glint in his eye, that gleam in his eye that you don't really get to see that often.
Yeah.
Danny, and this is Dan Dickow. Thanks for joining us here on 700 ESPN today. But yep. I completely agree with you is that, you know, Marshawn Lynch has a certain persona that he just wants to go about his business and not be kind of in the limelight. And I think that's one thing that created a lot of the national per media kind of saying there was something wrong in the Seattle locker room. You covering them from up close, did you ever have any concerns with him in that locker room?
You know, I'm not in the locker room every day, so I don't really know exactly what's going on in there. But from everything that I've heard and all the sort of interviews and things that I've seen is that he's a good teammate. You know, he, like you said, he just likes to go about his business. That's where the whole about that action thing came about anyway, you know. He's the kind of guy his teammates know he's going to be there on game day. He's going to, you know, battle, and the offense always rallies around him. He's just that persona. So I think, you know, even if he's maybe a little bit quiet or whatever, I think his teammates all understand that he's going to be there on game day, and that's really all that matters, honestly. It's like as long as he shows up and, you know, leads and goes to battle, then, you know, whatever happens on, you know, after the game, then whatever. But I think, generally speaking, his teammates probably love him. And, you know, that would be the most important thing.
Yeah, that's the thing that matters the most. I mean, that really is it. I don't really care what the national media thinks. The guys in the locker room are with him. That's really what is going to matter on Sunday. Danny, before you go, give me the prediction this weekend. The Seahawks go into what is the loudest stadium, of course, outside of CenturyLink in football. The Kansas City Chiefs, Seattle Seahawks, take to the field Sunday. Give me your prediction.
Well, I mean, I feel like I probably say this every week, but I think it's just going to be one of those close games where you're on the edge of your seat and probably a little bit frustrated throughout the whole game. But I see the Seahawks winning. I think, you know, they're going to be able to run the ball. The Chiefs haven't allowed a rushing touchdown yet this year, but that said, they haven't been necessarily a stellar run defense team. I think if the Seahawks can sort of keep doing what they've been doing and use that multiple varied rushing attack that they use against the Giants, I think that they'll be just fine. And hopefully, you know, you can see Russell Wilson have a little bit better of a game, and that'll take a lot of the pressure off of the run game as well. And on defense, I just feel very confident in the Seahawks defense these days. I think they've finally sort of gotten their swagger back, their mojo, or whatever it is you want to say, and they've also gotten a little bit healthier. So apart from the whole Mebane thing, I think I'm pretty confident in the defense, and so I'm expecting a win this weekend.
Fieldgoals.com is the best SB Nation site. Go check them out today, Danny Kelly. We appreciate your time today, man.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Danny Kelly, talking Seahawks with us here on a Thursday. That game is just a couple days away. Seahawks-Chiefs is going to be awesome.
Oh, it's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to that one. And I think the thing that when I look at the stats and how these two teams really try to play, you know, Seattle's number one in the NFL in rushing yards, and Kansas City is number 20 in giving up rushing yards. So I think they've got an opportunity to really get that ball to Marshawn and pound on him in that way. But, I mean, the thing to me is let's establish Marshawn Lynch, and then hopefully that can open up a few things for Russell Wilson to make some plays downfield, which I would like to see, but it's going to be extremely difficult because Kansas City has the number one pass defense in the league. So to be able to open up that passing game, Marshawn Lynch has got to get established early, in my opinion.
Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Your thoughts on the Hawks? Also, we'll get back to some Felix Hernandez here in a little bit, plus open up the text and tweet lines for your questions, 315-7833. 315-7833 for your text. You can tweet us at Dick Allen Slim here on 700 ESPN.